This is WHQR Presents, where we platform interesting people and perspectives from around our region. Today's show is From a Poet's Point of View, featuring artists and community members organized by Speak Your Piece NC, hosted by Melanie Nicole, a.k.a. Carrie Asada, featuring show regulars Robert Bellamy, a.k.a. Scale Hamhock the Poet, and Makeda Baker, a.k.a. Mama Makeda, and special guest for this episode, Martha Afetze. This episode was recorded live to tape on Tuesday, July 28th. It's entitled Poets Keep Receipts, a discussion about the importance of poetry and the history of truth, and the idea that, as Malcolm X said, truth is on the side of the oppressed. And as always, while WHQR is committed to sharing voices from around our community, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast series don't necessarily represent WHQR. Insanity, it's simply fantasy, far from reality. Poetry is the language of imagination. Poetry is a form of positive
creation. Difficult, isn't it? The point, you're missing it. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm so happy to have you present on this day as we record another episode of From a Poet's Point of View here at WHQR. Can we show some love to Ben Shockman?
All right, Ben.
Thank you, Ben, for always being present and making this moment possible for us here at WHQR. And so today, our topic is going to be Poets Keep Receipts. And before we get started talking about poetry, I would just like to go into and find out everyone's opinion on that topic and find out what it means to them. So as we go around the room in this space, please introduce yourself and then also tell us why poets keep receipts. And Mama Makeda, since I have a great glance at you, I'm looking right deep into your eyes. Can you start us off with why poets keep receipts and let us know, you know, who you are?
Wow. I am Mama Makeda Baker from Chicago, but currently residing in Chester, South Carolina. I am a nurse, a poet, a lecturer, a researcher, an author, and all of that stuff. And poetry is one of the things that I love. I love writing. Anything to do with writing, I love poetry. And your question is, poets keep receipts?
Yes. Can you explain to us what that means to you?
Wow. A receipt is documentation of a transaction of sort. That would be what I would describe a receipt as being, a documentation of a transaction. And poets not only write, but poets document. And so if poets keep receipts, and a receipt is a documentation of something that has transpired, then the poet is not afraid to use their voice, their pen, their paper, their mind, and their vulnerability to record or to become a sesh or a scribe and to write down what has happened, what is happening. And in other words, poets literally become not only receipts, but they become cameras for history. They become the authorized documenters for history. They keep receipts. Poets don't forget. So not only do they document on paper, but they keep it up here also. And it takes a lot of nerve to keep a receipt, to keep a transaction, to document what has occurred, to speak the truth. And that's what I would say a poet's keeping receipts would be.
Thank you so much for that, yeah. Mama Makeda. I would like to ask our special guest who is here with us this afternoon, a well-respected in the community, a mother, a professional of so many different careers and occupations, but what she has settled into, which I feel like comes so naturally from Miss Martha Effetsi as a poet. So, Miss Martha, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, and can you also answer the question, what does it mean to you about poets keeping receipts?
Yes, thank you. My name is Martha Effetsi. First and foremost, I am a mother. That is a role I take very seriously and hold very close and dear to my heart. I am a child of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I have experienced the Malcolms, the Dr. John Henry Clarks, the Fannie Lou Hamers, and Stokely Carmichaels, Rap Browns. I've experienced had the experience of being in their presence. Imama Baraka, such a great poet from Newark, New Jersey. And so writing poetry, I think, is something that has taken up residence in my spirit, in my heart. And I see the world, and I talk about it. I see pain, and I talk about it, and I write about it. I see happiness, I write about it, I talk about it. I see joy, laughter, and I write about it. And until I get it on paper, it just keeps residence. It keeps living rent-free in my spirit and in my head. So keeping receipts represents that. And I think I carry forth the receipts of our ancestors. And that's why it lingers so much, so deeply in my spirit. And so I am very expressive on paper. I write about everything. I write about politics. I write about crime. I write about love. I write about children. I write about the loss. And, you know, I write about my experience in Africa, down in the dungeons. And there are two things I think that has had phenomenal impact on my life. And I think it is, the first one was my trip to Ghana, and when I visited the dungeons and the door of no return and the hall of Pelaver, and the pain just seeped into my heart. I've never been the same since that trip to Africa. Mm. My life speaks differently in how I live. And the second thing that's had the most phenomenal impact on my life is the murder of my son. Mm. And that rained so deeply and cut so deeply in my spirit. And he was murdered in 2013. And in 2026, I have that same pain. That grief is still there. So I write about it, and it's kept me sane. That's how I keep receipts.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Miss Martha, for sharing that with us. It was beautiful to hear you speak your truth. Yes. And Robert, or should I call you Scale Hamhock, the poet? can you tell us what it means to you when you hear that poets keep receipts?
Yes, my name is Robert Bellamy. My stage name is Scale Hamhock, the poet. When I think about poets keeping receipts, I think about me just remembering things that I've seen, things that I've witnessed, and things that I write about. I like to write about everything, and to being a poet, you must be observant. You must have a memory, and you must realize that everything that is happening around you need to be written about, need to be thought about. And when I think about a poet keeping receipts, I think about, just retaining this energy inside my memory and then releasing it to the world on video or audio. And because it's important that the things that you have received, even from the ancestors spiritually, you need to share these things. And these things are so important for everyone to just witness in their own way. And that's what I say when I, that's what I feel like when I say poets keep receipts. It's all about retaining things in my memory. And that's what I feel.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for sharing. And we're actually creating a receipt today because we'll be able to hold on to this production and share it with friends and family. And there's always a good time for poetry. And so I would love to, before we begin sharing, to ask each poet at the table a question about another poet's quote and to respond to it. So we're going to start with our guest, Miss Martha. And there's a quote by Maya Angelou, and she says, "There's a world of difference between truth and facts. Facts can obscure the truth." What do you say to that, Miss Martha?
Apropos for today and all days of facts can be twisted any way you want to twist them. They come out the way you want to polish them out. It's like thinking about the Bible, versions of a versions of a versions and someone else's interpretations. And so you twist the facts and you twist history to favor you, the dominant factors of someone who wants to dominate and control and confuse people. But yeah, facts, if they're honest, facts can be liberating, but facts can also be detrimental to people, especially when facts are manipulated to meet the needs of other people who are trying to empower themselves. The truth, they always say, will set you free. You know, whether you want to admit that slavery existed, that's up to you. But truth is, it did. It did exist. And the perpetration of the neocolonialists on our culture and how they tried to destroy our culture and try to change our mindset and to force us into assimilating into their perspective of how they saw the world. So, yeah, the truth is the truth, and facts are facts, and they're good when they're truthful, and they're bad when they're not.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And let's show some love for Miss Martha by showing her and applause with our snaps. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mama Martha, for sharing that. And Mama Makeda, I would like to ask you this quote. And I feel like Baba Malcolm X, in his own right, definitely a poet, lived on the inside of him. But I wouldn't say that that is anything that he probably went by in his life as a poet. But one of my favorite quotes of his is that the truth is on the side of the oppressed. What do you have to say about that, Mama Makeda?
That the truth is on the side of the oppressed?
Yes.
Wow. In order for a people to be oppressed, there has to be oppression. And in order for there to be oppression, there must be an oppressor. And history has shown that in order to oppress, the oppressor has to come up with a formula, an algorithm. And part of that algorithm, which I speak about in my book, is to conjure up falsehoods about a person or people, to injure that person or people, then to rescue that person or people, and then to confiscate everything that person or people have. So with truth being on the side of the oppressor, if the oppressor uses conjurations and lies and fraud to justify their behavior against the oppressed, then the oppressed have absolutely no cause and no reason to lie about what has happened to them because of this outside force that has come upon them. So that we understand the difference between the oppressed and the oppressor, because the oppressor has to use a four-tiered system of conjuration in order to accomplish what they're doing. Whereas the oppressed, there's no need to lie. There's no cause to lie. You speak the truth. And that's part of the problem when it comes to the oppressed, is they speak truth and the oppressor has to continue to oppress the truth and continue to conjure up stereotypes about those they have oppressed in order to continue to justify the oppression. In order to be free, you must speak truth. And Dr. Jacob Carruthers always said, speak truth and do truth. And in order to be free, you must speak truth and do truth in order to undo the conjurations that those who are oppressing you do.
Thank you.
If that makes any sense.
Yes, it makes sense to us, Mama Makeda. We agree. And Scale Hamhock the poet, this quote is by Horace. A picture is a poem without words. Can you elaborate on that?
Wow.
What does that mean to you?
A picture is a poem without words. What I see in front of me, I have to describe it in my poetry. And so when I see a picture, I immediately think of what I'm going to write about or how I feel about what I see. And so during the whole process of understanding what's before me, I'm going to write about everything that I see that's about that particular thing. And so I'm going to continue to think on what the picture is presenting to me and everything that I want to say and think about that. And I'm going to write it down as I see it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much for that. And what's I also up? Want to share that the style of poetry where you use an actual canvas for your inspiration is called ephrastic poetry. And it's a lot of fun to create a poem through actually living inside of a picture. So maybe one day we'll have an opportunity to do that together, to share a different kind of experience of writing, being led by a canvas or possibly a picture that was taken by a photographer. But what I want to do at this time, I want to hear from these poets that have been keeping these receipts to find out what kind of receipts you have inside of your bag. And so I would love to start off with our guest, Mama Martha, to lead us into this event of sharing receipts. Would that be okay with you?
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Asada. I'm going to quote something from Dr. Makeda's book, her clinical and historical analysis on page 39, just to say that her book kind of rocked my world again. She, whereas Frances Welsing lives deep within my soul, she is a sister, a warrior, just as Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. She carries on, she carries that torch. And I received it, Mama Makeda. I did receive it.
Oh, yeah.
And you quoted someone by the name of Henry Berry.
Yes.
He gave a speech in the Virginia House of Delegates on December 21st, 1832, 16 years before my great-great-grandfather was born as property enslaved in New Hanover County, down in Federal Point, North Carolina. And he presented this to the Congress, and he said, "We have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which light may enter the slave's mind. If we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work will be complete. They would then be on the level of the beast of the fields, and we then shall be safe." Or will you? So what it kind of contributed to was a poem that I had written, and it's called Standing on the Edge. And it goes something like this. Our children are still standing on the edge, America. 400 plus years, expressing their rage in spoken word, poetry, and written iterations, immersed in the minutiae on the edge, just hanging there. Ever ask yourself why the pain is still so intense? Is it just like, it's just like cancer. It has metastasized deep into our melanated cells, being attacked 365, 24/7, and still they rise, never relenting, never retreating, and never allowing the determination of to succeed, to be destroyed. So they become the warriors of today while standing on the edge, determined to fight for their God-given freedom, not allowing anyone to steal what is God-given, not their dignity or self-respect, while standing on the edge. Or do they just allow the light to be extinguished and they become the beast of the field, per your design, as they fall over the edge to never rise again?
Old tap. Wow. Old tap, Mama.
Thank you. Mama Martha, that was so edgy. And when you think about being on the edge of something, you're holding on, grasping for life, because when you're at the edge of something, you know that there's a possibility that you can fall. And that is a hard situation to be in.
Well, the goal, I think, of the architects of this dehumanization of a people, it's to destroy. And this is what I see being inflicted upon our Black boys and girls today, as they're being shot down and killed and destroyed. So, yeah, the design was to break us, but there's something I think the provocateur don't realize. We are made different. We are a special people. And Mama Makeda's book kind of reinforced that core understanding within my spirit. And I do understand the pineal gland. I do understand that, Mama Makeda. And that is why the sun, even though we picked that cotton, the sun favored us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hotep.
Thank you, Mama Martha. And Scale Hemhock the Poet, can you share your receipts with us by picking a piece of poetry that connects to why poets do what we do?
Well, I was thinking about this poem that I've written, and I was actually, I think we was at the CAM together when I wrote, when I read this. And it was about the pictures and the photography that was on the walls. And the reason why I'm thinking about doing this poem is because you asked me about earlier about when I see a picture, how do the picture reflect to me? Did you say something like that? Yeah. So basically, I was looking for this poem during the time that you was talking. So I wanted to do this poem because it explains also what a picture means to me. Okay. And actually, I'm going to do it in character. Okay. Poetry is like a flower blooming, but the beauty is how the words connect. That's the after effect, if I'm correct. Photography is the visionary's mindset on check of what his camera reflects. I myself am an artist, a poet, and a painter. That's what my mindset meant. So I will say what I think, and that's it. Yeah, that's it. I see what I saw, and I wrote what I feel. I saw paintings that were photographed. I saw art and pictures that was real. But these are two photos that are the same, taken at the same time. So I looked at it like I lost something to see what I could find. I saw the before and after, and that shaped the thoughts in my mind. The same picture taken at different times. At first, I thought I lost my mind. The first photo was full. I saw everything, even though it was taken at night. But you can also see in the picture of the photo, the darkness in the light. The second picture, a whole building was missing and the space was clear. I could see now what was behind it and what was near. So I am writing about what I see now and what I saw then. Now the building is missing, everything blends in. The relationship between the photographer and his photo is not a complex one. Often described as a two-way relationship, and that's how art begun. This photograph was speaking to me, while so many others were like silent poetry. The sea roars, but the mountain is quiet. But without either, the world would riot, before and after. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hotep.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And what you actually shared is we may not be able to be there with you when you saw this, but we were able to come to our own conclusion of what kind of picture we may have been looking at. And at the time when you wrote this poem, you were definitely having an ephrastic poetry moment because your poetry was inspired by the picture that was before you. So thank you so much, Scale Hemhock the Poet, for sharing your poetry with us. It was very moving. And I just have to tell everyone who is with me in this space, and I'm so appreciative of your time, of your talents, and what your eyes have seen, and how you have brought what your eyes have seen to paper to create this beautiful poetry. So can everybody give themselves some snaps? Thank you so much. And Mama Makeda, can you please share with us your receipts? Share some poetry with us.
Okay, I will do that. Hotep, I may not be as forceful as upscale ham hock or as Mama Martha, but I'm going to share something that I wrote. I don't remember when I wrote this.
Okay.
But it's called light skinned it.
Oh, okay.
Light skinned it.
Okay, do it.
Mm-hmm. Now I can see you guys. Can you see me?
Yes. Yeah, Robert can't because he's on
okay.
another side.
Okay. Yeah. All right. This is called light skinned it. Your light skin got me trying to run from myself, storing my feelings on the bottom shelf, pretending my melanin is invisible, leaving me psychologically damaged and miserable. Got me trying to Clorox my skin like I'm ashamed of my natural complexion. Like I'm shamed or something to be dark, like damaged goods, and now I'm marked down. Marked down, just expendable. Not even to myself, am I even defendable? Like me and my like don't even exist, and should we die, we won't be missed, and amidst the noise and the chatter, no one will notice because my black life don't matter. Mm. Without a name and with no face and no historical record to be traced, pause. Then I read the words Yehudi wrote and heard the words Ptah Hotep spoke, and then I saw the face of the cosmos. Mm. In the beginning, it was all dark. And from that dark came the first spark. I am comprised of the earth's black dirt, the darkness of space where Newt gives birth. Mm. The watery darkness of the sacred womb and where pharaohs lie in sacred tombs. Mm. I am that divine silence at midnight, that space between no hearing and no sight. Mm. I am the darkness of Geb, where all food grows, that dark that allows Yech, our moon, to glow. Diamonds are nothing less than pressurized coal, and deep within the earth is liquid oil and black gold. If darkness is the coat nature is wrapped in, then how come my darkness be about sin? So I looked at this thing logically and saw the events unfold methodically. Was it the ice age, the Antarctic cold that shocked your body and then froze, that pineal gland part of your brain making you go against the human grain, making you look like an ice age ghost? And as a pale face Wasichu, you boast about your fraudulent superiority while imparting unto others a damned inferiority. Is this what happened that got you off track and got you acting all non-human like that? Is it that you are still frozen in time, making it easier to do your diabolical crime? Without an ounce of a human soul, your pervasive wickedness is evil and cold. Relegating Africans to southern plantations and the Iroquois and Choctaw to reservations. Violently extirpating the Incas and Tasmanians, killing off the Caribbeans and the Mayans, that light-skinnedness.
Deep. Architect of words.
Mm-hmm. Hotel mama.
yes.
You paint the picture, girl. You paint the picture.
Mm-hmm. Hotel mama.
Wow. What a tapestry.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you, Mama Makeda, for sharing your piece, Light Skinnedness. Because we know that colorism is real.
Pervasive. Pathologically pervasive.
Yes, Yes, that's, you're saying it. It's true, it is. And that poem, it just made it all very real. Realer than what it is, to be able to hear it and to be able to go back in ancient times and to see that when Plymouth Rock landed on us, so did all of the derangement and diabolicalness. It all came and just rocked our worlds. And that's why it's so important that as poets, we do keep the receipts. And speaking of receipts, I would love for Mama Martha to share with us what's getting ready to go down next Thursday. So for anyone who may be listening later on, they'll know to show up and to be present. And I just want to share with everyone that if you continually continue to bump into someone and you have a favorable and loving exchange, that means that you need to get connected with that person. And that's what happened here with me and Mama Martha. I met her someplace, and then I took down the wrong telephone number, and I was calling the wrong person. They never answered the phone, and it's just a whole story, but finally we were able to get together. So make connections to people who you're supposed to connect to. You will get assigned, and trust your inner knowing to know that it's the right connection. And I'm so happy that we have connected, and now we are connected. And if you can share with us, Mama, where are you going to be at next Thursday? Tell us what's going on.
Thank you, Asada. I feel the same. You have, and you've just brought light to my life, and it's just been wonderful to meet you and Robert. It's just been wonderful. And then icing on the cake to meet Mama Makeda. My sister soul warrior. Yes. So I was invited by the Island Art Poetry Thursdays down in Keir Beach. And they will be featuring me on Thursday, August the 6th. We will be at the Riverview Restaurant at 121 Riverfront Road in Keir Beach, 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, August 6th. And all are welcome. It is free for all who would love to attend.
Okay, and be there or be square.
Square.
Okay? Because you're being given the information. So let's show up for each other. Let's show up for this beautiful poet who has a heart full of words, and she's carrying a bag full of receipts, and we want to see them. So come hear them next Thursday. And I'm going to share a poem. And this poem that I'm going to share, Mama Makeda kind of helped inspire it because of the last couple of words that she said in her poem. And then I really feel like as I'm sitting here that everyone's poem has made me switch my direction of what I was going to share initially. So that's why it's important that we hear each other, because you can hear words that can sway you into another direction. That's why it's good to be mindful of the company that you keep, including the poets that you connect with. And so this piece that I want to share with you is called Divine Alignment. And I like to say this quite frequently, that I love Erykah Badu. And just like Erykah Badu, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. I am. I'm so sensitive that I made a shit sign, y'all. You can't see it, but I made a shit sign, okay? And one day I'll take a picture of it and I'll share it with Ben and I'll ask him if he could share my shit sign so y'all could see it. Okay? But this is called Divine Alignment. Mama Africa, we experienced how your names have changed, but we revere you all the same. Nubia, Kemet, Al-Kibulon, you are nature itself, Mama. You are the force of nature, Mama, giving birth to us, the descendants of what is and what was. Our bloodlines encompass the galaxy. We are the seeds growing into infinity, aligning in our divinity. I hear the beating of the drums, returning my spirit to ancestral lands before tampering, before genocide, before the impact of ISFET. We were gathered together as one collective, one heartbeat, nurturing ourselves, harvesting our sacred lands, feeding our bodies to live, sharing stories to generations of our children. We set the stars. We lived in divine alignment. Guardians of the Nile, goddesses of the dawn. We knew who we were. We planted vision for our youth, revered the treasures and jewels of our elders when they dropped them. We understood time without a clock. Our memories are still alive. We must sit still to return to them, rest in the power of meditation. It is there where we will connect again. Listen to the voice that lies in stillness, that answers to the truth. Every answer that you need is resonating inside of you. We are divine melanin magnets of peace, grounded within the soil of Earth's civilization. We are the code. Melanin breathes as we create. The Ankh stands as our light for life. Man and woman, building our great families. We are the vessels of humanity. Creatively, we align in divine timing. Remember, Nakupenda, to return to the source, we must align with the truth of our history. Before we were enslaved, we were making history, healing, connecting to our African deities. Loving our skin, our coloring, showing kindness to one another. We have never forgotten. We must remember who we were before the vileness. We were in divine alignment. Listen to the rhythm of the drum. We move as one, divinely aligned, no lapse in time. Close your eyes, breathe in, and remember. Sankofa.
Hotep. Hotep.
Thank you.
Hotep.
And so I feel like the combined energy of this space has moved me to share poetry to further align us in our memory and to know that we will continue on. We will defeat whatever is before us, and we will continue to keep receipts about it. I would also like to share for anyone who will be listening that on August 14th, Pause for Poetry will be back at the Fuzzy Needle, which is located at 716 South 17th Street between 7 and 9 p.m. We would love for you to join us. I'm really excited because my band Sultry Rain is going to be the feature on August the 14th, and Mama Makeda is coming back to Wilmington so she could see the band. Okay, now that is some love and that is some support. And I'm just so thankful for this village that the Creator has created for us. The the love, the authenticity, and the realness that says sometimes your family is that family that comes to you, that maybe doesn't come through the blood of you, but you meet through the blood and tears of life the people who stand by you. And I'm just so thankful to have this family, especially it's something about women of a certain season when you just have, you're walking in the right seasoning, enough salt, enough pepper, enough garlic, paprika, everything. It's like the perfect bite. And that's what the women who are of a certain season are for me. They're just perfect because they only share with you what the truth is, and anything to nurture you and to shape you and to make you become better. When you get to a certain stage in your life, I feel like you just keep it 100 and you don't have no time for no BS. So
Soul kin.
That's what you call that?
Yeah, so S-O-U-L, soul kin.
Wow. Well, I'm
yeah,
I'm
that thankful. Goes beyond family.
Wow. Well, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for Mama Martha.
Hotel.
And
Hotel.
I'm Hotel. Thankful for my sweetheart, Robert, yes. Who is, he told me earlier today that I'm his favorite poet.
Oh,
you know, I was just asking him, like, Robert, who's your favorite poet? And he was like, you. He was like, oh, my God.
He knew what to say.
Yeah. He knew what to say, right?
That was scripted, Robert. That was scripted.
True that. Oh, my God. Well, since we're on that topic, let me ask Mama Martha, do you have a favorite poet?
Nikki Giovanni has always been a favorite of mine. Her, Sonia Sanchez. But I have a favorite writer. Her name was J. California Cooper. Mm. That sister was a bad mamma jamma. She could write some stuff. I loved her. She's the one that really got me really started reading a lot of stuff that was good, funny, laughing, pleasurable, yeah. Because I was always a factual reader, statistics and history. So I learned to laugh through J. California Cooper.
Thank you.
Nikki Giovanni was always one of the featured poets at my daycare center in my school back in Paterson, New Jersey.
Wow.
So we always, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is quite some beautiful memories, you know, to have with her. We're going to have to talk about that, Mama Martha. And we will close out our conversation. And if you would be okay with sharing her poem, Allowables, we'll do that at the end. And Mama Makeda, do you have a favorite poet or writer that you would like to share with us?
You know, I love poetry. I really don't have a favorite poet, but of my bonus daughters, and that includes you and Rhonda and Truth and Tracy, I'd have to say my bonus daughters are my favorite poet. So I'll just lump you all together. You all are my favorite poet because you Jed Ma'at, Air Ma'at, you speak truth and you do truth.
Thank you. Thank you, Mama Makeda. Listen, y'all are not going to make me cry, okay? Even though it doesn't take much, but I'm just feeling kind of soft on the inside. And Robert, I know that you shared earlier that I was your favorite poet. Did you want to share why Carrie Asada is your favorite poet?
When I hear poetry and it gives me a certain feeling, It inspires me to write, and it inspires me to understand what is written. And when I hear you write, and when I see what you write, and I hear you actually, it just brings tears to my eyes. Like when you wrote the poem, about Nolan Wells. That poem really brought tears to my eyes. And, I mean, there are a million of poems. That you write about 4 or 5 poems a week. But when you wrote that poem, that sealed it right there. You know, you are my favorite poet. Aww. You know. And I love you, Mama Michaela, too. Don't think I don't love you. You know. You know. America is a site. America is what? America is an asylum.
Is an insane asylum.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, when I hear poetry like that, you know, and now Tracy, you know, I'm gonna hear some more of your poetry.
Martha,
I'm sorry. Why did I say that?
Because Mama Makeda mentioned Tracy.
Okay, yeah. And when I hear some more of your poetry, I know you've written a book, and have you got the book?
Yeah.
I got to read your book. She got the book. I'm going to read it, then I will know more about you. But when I hear you in person, you know, it really inspired me. The last time I saw you at the Fuzzy Needle, I was so inspired. I think I told you that when you walked out of the door, you know, your style of poetry, the way you present it, you know, it has so much power in it. And so I really appreciate that poetry.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
And you're going to be my third favorite poet.
I'm going to put you in my favorites, too. Because you really are excellent. You just, I mean, the poetry that you write is just so phenomenal.
It
paints the picture. If I was an artist, what would I paint? Because you put it right there. I'd almost feel like I could pick up a paintbrush and paint it out, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's powerful.
That is.
That's powerful.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I think that it's good that we show love and love on each other. Nakupenda, right, which means I love you in Swahili, that we express those feelings with each other with so many unfavorable emotions being shared. When we come together, we should have the best of time and honor and celebrate each other. So I want to thank everyone for coming on. And before Mama Martha reads Nikki Giovanni's poem, I just want to remind everyone about Mama Nina Simone, and we'll hear from her later on at the end of this podcast, but she does remind us that it is the artist's duty to reflect the times.
Yeah.
So all of the artists who may be listening, and all of us can create. I feel like some of us just go a little deeper into it. Just remember that it is the duty of an artist to reflect the times. And let's give each other some snaps.
Hotel.
As we snap into the reading of Mama Nikki Giovanni's poem, Allowables, we'll be hearing from Mama Martha.
Allowables. I killed a spider. Not a murderous brown recluse, nor even a black widow. And if the truth were told, this was only a small spider, sort of papery spider, who should have run when I picked up the book. But she didn't. And she scared me as I smashed her. I don't think I was allowed to kill something because I am scared.
Wow.
And let us all just sit with that.
Wow.
Let's sit with that. And when you have an opportunity to reread that poem, think about the life that we live, and then think about allowables. Thank you so much for spending time with us. This is a poet's point of view. Peace.
An artist's duty, as far as I'm concerned, is to reflect the times. I think that is true of painters, sculptors, poets, musicians, as far as I'm concerned, it's their choice. But I choose to reflect the times and the situations in which I find myself. That, to me, is my duty. And at this crucial time in our lives, when everything is so desperate, when every day is a matter of survival, I don't think you can help but be involved. Young people, black and white, know this. That's why they're so involved in politics. We will shape and mold this country, or it will not be molded and shaped at all anymore. So I don't think you have a choice. How can you be an artist and not reflect the times? That, to me, is the definition of an artist.
That was From a Poet's Point of View, featuring artists organized by Speaky Piece NC and presented by WHQR. We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we encourage you to explore some of the other perspectives we've featured here on WHQR Presents. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for listening.